deal with something along those same lines. I'll probably be here a couple of weeks. Although next week, next Wednesday night, Brother Rick McGovern's going to be here. He'll be speaking. But I would like for you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, if you would. I want to begin a series, two or three messages, on what's wrong with the prosperity gospel. You know, I don't think most of us probably even know just how pervasive the prosperity gospel is. I don't think we realize it. And I don't think that we even recognize it in many of its manifestations. In some ways, it's hard to make certain statements that apply to everybody who is infected with it, because not every single thing will apply to every single one. However, there is plenty that does apply to every single one of the churches and ministries around the world that preach a prosperity gospel. I'm going to tell you what it is and what it's all about as we go. But in 2 Peter 2, beginning in verse 1, Peter warns about latter-day deception. He said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." There shall be. "Who privately," the idea privately being secretly, cunningly, stealthily, they sneak it in. "They will bring in damnable heresies to the point of even denying the Lord that bought them, which will bring upon themselves swift destruction. But nobody will listen to them." Verse 2. Verse 2. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." Pernicious ways. Interesting Greek word that some versions translate it carnal, some immoral, some sensual. If you've got a different version, how's it translate the word? Destructive. "They will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth," the way of truth, "shall be evil spoken of." So the truth will be denounced, ridiculed, mocked, disparaged. "And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words," made up words, plastic words. That's where we get our word plastic from, feigned. Plastos is the Greek. "With feigned words, they will make merchandise of you." They will exploit you, make merchandise. It's where we get our word emporium from. You've heard of an emporium? You know what an emporium is? It's a place that sells. They trade. It's a market. It's a store, like. "Well, they will make merchandise of you, and their judgment now of a long time lingers not, their damnation slumbers not. It may seem like God is slow, but God will deal with them," and that's something we can be sure of. "They will make merchandise of you." I think that scripture accurately describes what the prosperity gospel is all about. The prosperity gospel makes merchandise of people. The idea is to cajole, urge, manipulate, twist every kind of way they can to get people to part with their money and donate to these men and ministries, these charlatans. So I'd kind of like to go through a few steps. Like, what is the prosperity gospel? You can't know what's wrong with it if you don't know what it is. It flies under several flags. That is, it goes by several different names. Sometimes it's called word of faith teaching. You've heard of word of faith teaching. Sometimes it's called the health and wealth gospel. Sometimes it's ridiculed and called name it and claim it, or blab it and grab it. It's commonly referred to as the seed faith teaching or seed faith gospel. You've probably heard that before. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all have heard these are not unfamiliar terms, I think. You've heard most of them. Whatever name you give it, it holds to one main premise, and that is God wants you to be healthy, happy, and wealthy. He wants you to be a success in this world. He wants you to prosper in this world. That's kind of the main premise of it all. They'll cite a bunch of Old Testament passages. You know, Abraham was rich. God wants you to be rich. God promised to bless Israel with abundance, and God will bless you with abundance if you'll just name it, claim it. Couple of passages. Let me give you a couple of passages they like to cite. 3 John 2 is one of them. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. 3 John 2. Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So here, God wants you to prosper. Of course, they don't define prosperity the way the Bible defines prosperity. To them, prosperity means simply money, wealth, increase, abundance. And the more you have, that is a sign of God's favor upon you. So those that God blesses have the most. If you've got plenty, God's blessed you. I don't understand how that follows through, because under that reasoning, drug dealers would have to be pretty blessed by God when you think about it, because they seem to have a lot. The cartels have a lot, but I don't think it's God who's blessing them. Catholicism has a lot. Mormonism has a lot. I don't think it's God who's blessing them. But anyway, this is the premise. We're going to talk about these things as we go along. I do believe God will bless us and prosper us. But we're going to talk about what biblical prosperity is. And then, of course, another passage they like to cite is John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. So abundant life, that is a main theme as well. An abundance to them basically means an abundance of money, stuff, things, resources. Can I mention that these verses, what these verses teach, that's not error. That's the truth. God wants to bless us. I believe he wants to bless us. I don't believe poverty is a blessing. I don't believe that when you don't have the money to pay your bills, that that's a blessing. But it's a blessing to know that we can trust God no matter what our circumstances are. We can trust him to bless and provide and so on. We differ from the prosperity crowd in a number of ways. I don't believe that biblical prosperity can simply be translated as money, wealth, fame, success in this world, riches, and so forth. That's not the definition of biblical prosperity. I don't believe that sickness, trial, adversity, affliction, and all that is from God. I believe we're supposed to fight those things. I don't think that that's a sign of weak faith. If you're afflicted, going through trial, if you're struggling with your finances, I don't believe that's a sign that God has abandoned you or God's mad at you. You're just going through a trial. You're a child of God. You trust the Lord, and you believe his promises. I believe God's a healer. And if you believe God's a healer and that you can claim the promises of healing, you're going to be accused of being a health and wealth preacher. Or of believing the prosperity gospel. If you just say, well, I believe that God heals. Oh, you're one of those health and wealth people. You know. Well, I do believe in God's health, that God will bless us and heal us. I believe we can trust him to do that. He says if we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. He said by his stripes we healed. He said, is there any sick among you? James 5:14-15. Any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Amen. I believe we should practice those things. I don't believe that sickness is to be coddled and accepted as God's gift to us. I believe sickness is to be rebuked and refused and resisted. And as we as we put our finger on the promise of God and claim his promise. Now, if you do that, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be linked with the prosperity crowd because they'll lump you all up together with them. Doesn't matter what else you preach. They're going to link you with the Jesse Duplantises and all the others that, you know, that believe they should fly around in $50 million airplanes. But here's what I would tell you about criticism, and it's important that we remember this. Many of the critics of the prosperity gospel are non-charismatic. That is, they're not Pentecostal. They don't believe in anything Pentecostal, which means miracles, healing. They don't believe in anything like that. So can always consider the source when there is criticism, you know, because folks like that would be suspicious of anything supernatural. On the other hand, I believe that the prosperity crowd gets into some serious error with their excess, with their lavish lifestyles, and with their overemphasis on things, the things of this world. You know, I had to remind somebody today, a brother in the Lord, that God does promise to provide for us, and that there are plenty passages in the Bible that we ought to latch hold of and trust the Lord to do what he said. He said he'd provide all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 19. He said, listen, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You have a need, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry, don't get anxious over it, whatever the need is. You trust the Lord, you pray, he promises to provide. There's so many passages in the Bible that speak of divine provision. Matthew chapter 6, why are you taking thought? Why are you worrying? Why are you so anxious? Worried about what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to put on? Where are we going to live? After all these things, he says, do the Gentiles, the heathen. That's what they seek after. He says, your heavenly Father knoweth the things that you have need of. But seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You seek God's kingdom. You live for Christ. You do what you're supposed to do. God will look after you. He said, consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds of the air. The lilies are clothed, God will clothe you. The birds of the air, he says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Won't he feed you, O ye of little faith? So we're to trust the Lord. We're to believe that he'll do what he promised, right? Like the psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God doesn't forsake his people. Sometimes they may feel forsaken, and that doesn't mean they don't go through times of terrible trial. I mean, you start thinking about the terrible trials our Nigerian brothers are going through right now after what our brother shared last week. They're going through horrendous times of trial. Does that mean the Lord doesn't love them, or he loves us more over here in America than he loves them? Are we better Christians than they are over there? Are they failing to claim their best life now? Is that why they're going through what they're going through? No. Listen, we all go through trial of different shapes and sizes and colors. But I don't have a problem with laying hold of the promises, claiming the promises, confessing the promises. I don't have a problem with that at all. But if you do that, you're going to be labeled with the prosperity crowd. Just remember the source of the criticism. As long as you stay with the scriptures, you confess what the Word of God says, you're safe. They criticized Paul. They criticized the Lord. They called the Lord the devil. They said he had a devil. So sometimes criticism even comes from Christian circles. Here's the three problems that I have with the prosperity gospel. what they say, what they don't say, and what they do, or how they live. You know, their excess. So what they say, what they don't say, and how they live, the excess of their lifestyle. You know, I do want you to realize that the entire Pentecostal and charismatic world has been infected by this prosperity gospel. I don't know if we all realize just how much it's been infected by it, but the situation, I believe, has become critical, so critical that in foreign countries, they really hate to see, the Christians hate to see American Christianity come over there, because we dilute the faith of the people who are there, and we promise them wealth and riches and success in this world, and these are people who have little or nothing. As our brother Michael has spoken of before, having grown up in Nigeria, and he spoke of how the average wage there is $1 a day. So people over there work hard for $1 a day and barely eke out enough food to eat. You know, some of the biggest prosperity churches in the world, guess where they are? Nigeria. They got infected with the prosperity gospel in the United States, and some of the largest churches in the world, auditorium seating 30,000 people is nothing over there. They get it from their poor people. Some of these churches have millions of members, millions of members. One banker in Nigeria said one church was depositing $5 million a week into their account, $5 million a week. The pastor of one of the largest churches in Nigeria, in 2011, Forbes magazine said his personal worth was $150 million. That's the pastor. His personal worth, $150 million. And many others, to have a personal worth of $30 million to $50 million is not uncommon for some of these men. And they live the most lavish lifestyles, fly around in their private jet planes. They're accountable to nobody, not even the government. They're a force unto themselves. I remember something A.W. Tozer said way back when he saw what was happening in American Christianity. You know what he said? This was prophetic. He said, the worst thing that we can do now is for America to cross the ocean and bring our brand of Christianity to other countries. He said it would set the cause of Christ back 20 years if we do that. He was not only right, he was off. It's going to set the cause of Christ back 50 years. Not just 20. And why is that? Because American Christianity focuses on money. It focuses on things, stuff, material things, even though the Bible warns against it repeatedly. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The Bible warns repeatedly about this, but American Christianity has peppered its message with enough scripture, just enough to make it sound credible. Here's the sad thing. The biggest churches in the world are prosperity churches. And the churches that preach the gospel, that just preach the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, find their members trickling out and going sit into the big, giant, mega prosperity churches where they preach almost nothing except material gain. The focus is on this world, not on the world to come. The focus is on stuff. Yep. I have some data and statistics on some of these Nigerian pastors, but I may save this for another time and bring this out. But here's what you need to recognize. What I intend to do over the next few weeks is to give you a few signs that maybe you're listening to the prosperity gospel, or maybe you're infected by the prosperity gospel. And those who may be listening on the internet or on the radio or on the television, if they hear this message, then here's some signs you may be in a prosperity church. Sign number one, and this is as far as we'll get tonight, is sign number one. Sign number one, the emphasis is on money. The emphasis is on money. They're always talking about money. They're always preaching about money. They're always emphasizing give, give, give. Tithing, you'll hear words like a hundredfold return. You got to sow your best seed, you know, seed faith, seed offering. If you want to get a harvest, you've got to sow the seed. Every time they take up an offering, here's a sure sign you're in a prosperity church. There's going to be a pep talk before every offering. There's going to be a 10-minute pep talk. They're going to give you a little rah-rah, give you money. Here's the promise. You're going to get blessed. Let me give you this testimony. It's going to be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. It may be 30 minutes. I heard one person say that the pep talk before they took up the offering was 45 minutes. It was longer than the sermon. That was the pep talk. That was the pep talk before the offering was passed, you know. Yeah, that was a sermon in itself. But, you know, there's always some sort of a give to get gimmick, some kind of fundraiser, some kind of an appeal, and a prayer cloth, prayer handkerchief, prayer rug, prayer bead, I guess, or holy oil, holy water, holy smoke. Well, they like Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Well, you know, giving is a biblical principle. There's nothing wrong with citing biblical principles. Galatians chapter 6, don't be deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7, 6:8, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, but this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, he that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. These are divine principles. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to be generous givers. We're not supposed to be begrudging givers. We believe that as Christians, we're supposed to give. But as 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give to get. Don't give to bribe God. So, you know, the biblical principle is if you don't sow, you don't reap. I mean, it's based on the harvest. You want to reap a bunch of tomatoes, you gotta actually plant plenty of tomatoes. The more you plant, the more you reap, right? I mean, there are biblical principles here. But here is where the prosperity guys go beyond the scripture and start actually not just implying but promising that your blessing from God, your miracle, your healing, your answer to prayer is directly linked to your offering. It's linked to your offering, and if you don't give, well, you don't get, because God's promises have to be bought. They have to be bought. Well, as 2 Peter 2, our text says, there were false prophets, and through covetousness will they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Through covetousness, it shows their motive is greed. They use feigned words, again, that word means plastic, not real, made up, fabricated, deceitful, manufactured. In other words, they're going to be slick talkers, and they will exploit you, make merchandise of you, rob you, I believe that every church needs money to survive. There's no question about that. It needs money to grow. It needs money to expand. And we all have to trust the Lord to provide for us. I believe that we should not attach our ambition. You know, as a pastor, I can't attach my own personal dreams and visions and ambitions to a congregation and expect you to finance it. As if to say, I have a dream that we're going to be on 20 TV stations. God's will is for us to be on 20 TV stations, and we'll get on 20 TV stations if you will give your best offering.
I've heard that before.
Not from you. Well, yeah, sure, it would be nice to get on 20 TV stations. I'm thankful we can be on one TV station. But, you know, I kind of have the crazy idea that if God wanted me to be on that many TV stations, he'd provide for it. You know? Or that if he wanted us to build a great big giant church, he'd actually provide for us to do something like that. But I would believe that God can provide without me having to manipulate people. And let me tell you, sometimes the manipulation is so blatant, I want to reach across the TV and grab some of them by the neck. But I guess you're not allowed to do that. You know, like the ones who stand up in front of a congregation and will say, God told me. God told me that there's seven people here today that's going to give $1,000. They're going to give $1,000. And, you know, there's a special anointing here for your breakthrough. God wants to release into your life today. If you just step up right now, you feel the Lord speaking to you about getting this breakthrough in your life. You stand up and we'll get you an envelope. You'll get your $1,000 breakthrough. I had to laugh one time years ago about a fellow who was promising these fancy, they were doing really fancy chairs, and if you donated $1,000, they'd put your name, they'd have it engraved on the side of the chair. So that was pretty fancy for $1,000. And somebody commented, yeah, and for $10, they'll write your name in the marks a lot on the bottom of a chair. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sister. Oh, go ahead.
Hello. Is it on?
Yes, it's on.
Oh, I lost my train of thought, but I wanted to say, you know, what gets to me is that when they talk about all that stuff that you said, and I'm pretty sure all of us have heard somebody, they put emphasis on stuff and what they can get instead of God's glory, what God has already given us. He's given us his son. He's given us the blood. Yeah, we believe by faith that God can heal us. But if he doesn't heal us, he's already given us victory through the cross. And that has to be our main focus. Our main focus has to be Christ, the Messiah. What he did, claiming his promises, but always remembering that our reward is Christ. Our reward and our crown is with him. You know?
So it's not on stuff?
It's not on stuff, Pastor.
That might be heresy. Hey, in the materialistic America, do you understand the appeal of wait, you mean the way to real success and wealth and health and blessing and everything is just to give to their ministry, and then I'll be abundantly blessed. You know what also breaks your heart is to see people defend these guys and women, men and women, because they're all snake oil salesmen. But people will fight you over them. They will fight you over them. They will defend them because they're doing a great work. Well, you know, some of them are doing some good things with some of the money. I mean, I saw some relief organizations out there that were funded by Joyce Meyer. I also know she lives in a multiple million dollar home, that she bought multiple million dollar homes for all of her kids, that she spends hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for furnishings in her house. I also know that there's a whole lot of unaccounted for money in these ministries that nobody in the world accounts for. And I'm not going to get off track on what they teach that's heretical right now, because I'm saving that for later. But lavish lifestyles, that should be an immediate red flag. You see these folks flying around in private jets like rock stars. Why don't American Christians have any discernment? They'll defend these guys and gals. They'll defend them and not recognize that these guys are exploiters. That's exactly what they're doing. They're merchandisers. The Bible speaks in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5 about those deceivers. The Bible speaks of them as deceivers who are destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. I'm going to read something to you tonight. Maybe a little surprising. Back in the 1950s, Oral Roberts, who is responsible for a lot of this seed faith stuff, actually, it didn't come from Oral Roberts. He's the one who introduced it to the United States in a way. But I'm going to read a couple things to you today. He wrote a book called The Principle of the Seed all the way back in the 50s. He said, expect a miracle when you sow a seed from your need. Sow a seed from your need. To realize your potential, to overcome life's problems, to see your life become fruitful, multiply, and provide abundance, that is, health, prosperity, spiritual renewal in the family or yourself, you should decide to follow the divine law of the sower and the harvest. Sow the seed of his promise in the ground of your need. He's talking here strictly about sowing money. He says, solve your money needs with money seeds. Richard Roberts, who followed in his father's footsteps, said, give God something to work with. No matter how little you think you have, sow it in joy and faith, knowing in your heart that you are sowing seed so you may reap miracles. Then start expecting all kinds of miracles. Okay, so let's think about that. Sow your seed so you can expect a miracle. In other words, money will buy you a miracle. That's what it takes. Money will buy you a miracle. In May of 2016, his Richard Roberts newsletter appealed for money, and he said, sow a special $100 seed. If you will plant this seed out of your need and go into a holy agreement with me, then together you and I will expect a mighty miracle from God. So your seed, you sow money seed, you sow the money, and me and you are going to expect a miracle together. And even if you don't get one, then I still have your $100. So, the Trinity Broadcasting Network is famous for parading these guys across their network, broadcasting them to the world, and is largely responsible for the propagation of heresy around the world. Years ago, y'all remember Richard Roberts' first wife by the name of Patty Roberts? Richard Roberts was married to a Christian girl named Patty Roberts. She went to work in the ministry, and she got into a world of trouble because she found out too much. And she wrote about it in her book called Ashes to Gold. It's been out of print for years, but if you can find one, pick it up and read it, because she reveals some stuff about the inner machinery of Oral Roberts' ministry that's simply appalling, appalling to say the least. They hired professional fundraisers to come up with schemes, not even saved people, just to come up with schemes for them to raise money. Patty Roberts, yeah. She compared the seed faith tactic that Oral Roberts promoted to Johann Tetzel's practice of selling indulgences. I don't know if you remember, but Martin Luther, the Roman Catholic priest who rebelled against the excesses of the Catholic Church and who was considered the father of the Reformation, he reacted to Johann Tetzel, who was hired by the Pope to come up with a scheme to raise money to finish the construction of St. Peter's Basilica. Well, he came up with the idea of selling indulgences. By selling indulgences, what you do is you tell people, if you give money to us, prayers will be said for your loved ones who are in purgatory. And you give money, prayers will be said for your loved one in purgatory, and they'll get out. And if you don't give, you're condemning your dead daddy or mama or grandma to suffering for eons of time in purgatory. And Tetzel is the one who came up with the saying, when the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. So you put your money, in goes the money, boop, out goes the soul. You know, it's a... So the seed faith offering gimmick is a lot like that. You know, you give, it's all about money. You know, souls get delivered from torment because you gave money? I mean, really? Then the rich are blessed in this world, and the poor are cursed in this world and cursed in the next. If you poor, you doubly, triply, quadruply cursed, because you don't have no money to pay. You don't leave no money behind for your family to pay to get you out of purgatory. I mean, you really quadruply cursed. But Joyce Meyer said, she talked to Oral Roberts. She was a kind of one of his famous disciples. She said, when I talked to Oral Roberts today, we talked about the seed faith thing. And he said, when you give, you get a receipt in heaven that when you have a need, you can then go with your receipt and say, you see, God, I've got my receipt from my sowing, and now I have a need, and I'm cashing it in. So you buy God's blessing, you buy God's promises, you buy it. And then God is obligated to you because you gave. You see, because you gave, God's obligated now. You have this receipt. I sowed my $1,000 seed, so now I'm cashing it in. You have to heal me. You have to bless me. Well, there might be a layaway, yeah. You know, $1,000 a year or $100 a month, maybe, you know. There's, let me tell you, if you think of any of the great big name preachers that have been on the television, now, not all of them, to be sure, but plenty of them are infected with this seed faith nonsense. Rod Parsley. Parsley says you can sow money for whatever you want. Your job, for sheep, for wine. If you need some love, you can sow money. He said salvation. You can reap that if you would sow seed money. Salvation for your family. Is that what you really want? He said. To know that all your children are saved. To lay your head on the pillow at night knowing that if Jesus split the eastern sky, that your children are all within the ark of safety. Is that what you want? Who don't want that? We want our children saved. Then here's what he said. Then sow for it. Sow, that means, you know, you give your money. Sow for it. Then this is what he said. For only $50 sent to his ministry, I believe God will give you a harvest of protection from deception and an uncommon ability to discern between truth and error in your life. First, God's going to release to you the ability to hear and recognize his voice as never before. Second, protection over your decisions. I'm believing with you for 1 year of no bad choices. Finally, third, protection from all the deception of the adversary. Now look, if you get all that for $50, I guess that's really not that bad a deal, but well, I don't know about the guarantee part, but you know, basically, if you want God to move, here's what it amounts to. You got to pay for it. You want God to move in your life, you want a blessing, a breakthrough, you got a real need, you have a real need, a real heaviness, a real burden, then you give. Now, you know, they can almost make it sound like it's right. They can almost make it sound like it's right. Unless you think about the implication, and the implication is you buy and obligate God. You give and obligate God. As though by your giving, he's now obligated to answer prayer regardless of how you live. This isn't what the Bible teaches, beloved. Yes, ma'am. Let's get you a microphone.
Many years ago, a friend that, I guess, supported Parsley's ministry invited another friend and I to go to see him in person. You know what a barker is, right? If you've been to Mexico, they line the street in front of every store hollering at you to get you to go in and buy whatever they have. So they did praise and worship, and then the barkers came out. And by the things that they were saying about Rod Parsley, you would have thought the Lord was going to descend from heaven. It was unbelievable. Just the brazenness of what they were saying about this human being. I was, you know, we looked at each other like, what is this? I mean, you know, I had kind of seen him on TV, kind of, you know. It was such an eye-opening experience, Brother Rusty, that it bothered me that I was even there.
Yeah.
It just really, I couldn't believe what I was seeing and hearing. And that this place was full of people.
Oh, they pack them in.
I mean, it was
unbelievable. People love these prosperity guys. They love them. They love them. They flock to them. He was on TBN doing a praise-a-thon. I've got a quote here. A praise-a-thon. They were raising money. Or telethon, whatever they call them. Anyway, they were raising money. So he said, I don't know how big of a miracle you need, but let your seed represent your need. Now, you know, by your seed, you know what he's talking about, right? Your money, how much you give. Some of you need to do that, $4,000 right now. Some of you need to do $5,000 or $10,000. Some of you need to do $100,000 tonight. There's a miracle attached to your seed. A miracle attached to your seed. Well, If you need a miracle, you can buy it from God. I read something on an apologetics website just today that I thought was rather interesting. It's from the apologetics website called Rapture Ready. But they have an article in there called The Most Evil Man You Never Heard Of. The most evil man you never heard of. Well, this man that they're talking about in this article is the real father of the seed faith gimmick. His name is James Eugene Ewing, E-W-I-N-G. If you have a chance, do a little Google search on James Eugene Ewing. You probably never heard of this guy, right? Have you ever heard of St. Matthew's churches? Church in the Mail. Anyway, here's a guy that is a professional fundraiser. He started a ministry called St. Matthew's Churches. They send out 1 million pieces of mail a month. Fundraising appeals. He's always got some kind of gimmick attached to it. Like it might be a piece of paper that you open up and it's a handprint. And you're supposed to put your hand in there, pray a certain prayer, then say Jesus 3 times or something like that. Return the hand with your best offering and expect your miracle. So, I mean, it's always something like that. A handkerchief, a coin. He's always sending out stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I received one about a week ago, and I opened it up, and it had a picture of Jesus in it, and it was called a prayer rug, and it said something about the eyes. Look at the eyes, and
the Jesus eyes
open. Yeah, they opened up. You stare at the eyes, and they open up, and they look at you, and then they close, and then they open, and they close. It goes back and forth. Kind of remind me of those back in the 90s, they had that stuff in the newspaper where you stare at it and you see images.
Yeah, illusion things.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. And But anyway, they wanted an offering. And then I said, well, who are these people? And it was like St. Matthew's Church. And I looked it up, and I remember it was from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. And that's also where the Oral Roberts ministry is.
That's right. Well, church, he operates under about 5 different names. St. Matthew's Churches. They have no buildings. They have no churches. They have a post office box in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they take in, through their mailouts, anywhere from $20 to $70 million a year. Yeah. He's a con man, shyster, liar, fraud to the nth degree. He's been investigated so many times, the IRS has tried to, you know, shut him down and all of that. But the guy lives in Beverly Hills, or, you know, his house overlooking Beverly Hills, drives around in luxury cars. Well, years ago, Oral Roberts Ministry was in some trouble. They were running out of money. They were taking in about $6 million a year. And they offered up, Oral Roberts had to put his private jet up for sale. That's how bad things had got. Well, they heard from this fella Ewing, okay? He said he wants to see Oral Roberts. So he went into Oral Roberts' office, and the fella who was there with him, a guy by the name, let me see, I've got his name right here. Wayne Robinson was this fellow's name. He was a vice president of public affairs for Oral Roberts. He said, Ewing came to see Oral about buying the plane. When he arrived at ministry headquarters, the first thing out of his mouth when he met Oral Roberts was, Oral, you're in trouble and I can help you. He said, this guy laid out one of the most sophisticated plans to get money from people that he ever saw in his life or ever heard in his life. He told Oral Roberts, write all of your supporters, every one of them. Tell them you're going into your prayer tower and that you're not going to leave for 3 days and that you're going to pray for every prayer request they send in with their best offering. So Oral Roberts said, good idea. So he did, and they raised millions. In fact, Ewing sold to Oral Roberts the seed faith gimmick. The whole seed faith gimmick, the whole idea is you give to get a blessing from God. Sold him the whole gimmick. Oral paid for it. You know how he paid for it? He gave the guy his plane. Well, I want you to listen to some of this. A whole bunch of others then started subscribing to Ewing's I'm sorry, what's that?
What happens to these people in
AA? Well, we just read that, 2 Peter chapter 2. Their damnation slumbers not. Yeah. You better believe it. Well, T.L. Osborne hired this guy. Robert Tilton hired him. Surprise, surprise. Rex Humbard. Even Reverend Ike hired him. In fact, at one time, he had 9 different of these TV evangelists sending out the same chain letter. All 9 of them sent out the exact same chain letter, only the signature on the bottom was different, you know. And each one had the subscriber's name, you know, a person's name on it. Dear Rusty, I've been praying for you. God's had you on my heart, and I'm bringing you before God. You know, if you're a donor, these computers, they get your name. They will print your name on these forms. They'll send it to you as though it was written to you personally, as though they knew you. They don't know you. They send that to 5 million people, 10 million people. They have no idea who you are, and they blatantly lie. They fabricate these stories. You've been on my heart. I'm going to, you send me your best offering. And anyway, 9 different televangelists sending out the exact same letter all at one time. Here's some of this guy Ewing's churches. Church of Compassion, Church by Mail, Church and Bible Study by Mail, St. Matthew's Churches, 20th Century Advertising Agency. Well, that's what he is. He's an advertising agency. And his so-called church was a Tulsa post office. One of his gimmicks, you know how you got the Jesus eyes? One of his gimmicks was a $10,000 faith check that he sent to people. It was drawn on the Bank of Heaven. The bank president was God the Father. The vice president was Jesus. The secretary and treasurer was the Holy Ghost. Here's what he said. Place this check in your wallet and keep it there until the blessing unfolds. Whisper the name of Jesus 3 times as you write your name on the back of the faith check. Of course, mail in your best offering. I think witchcraft inspired this guy more than the Holy Ghost. But this shameful, this shameful form of fundraising, Seed Faith, was born not in the heart of a man of God, but in the sinister mind of a snake oil salesman who was simply looking for ways to get people to part with their money. It's shameful. You want to know if you're in a prosperity church, the minute they start talking about seed faith, that you actually have to buy a miracle from God, that you want God's touch, then you have to sow this base, this big faith seed to release the power of God. That is nonsense. When Jesus prayed for people, how many offerings did he take up in advance before he prayed for them? Before he cast the devil out of these people, did he say, look, first you got to sow your best offering? No. No. Freely you've been given, freely you've received, freely you're to give. If the ministry that you're listening to, supporting, sitting under, if their emphasis is money and gimmicks and seed faith and give to get, then thou needest to get thee up and get thee out. It is a scam, a sham. It is sinister. It is sinister. This overemphasis on money, especially when the Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The most evil man you never heard of. This guy built hundreds of millions of dollars from mostly poor people. Because you know who gives their money? You know who sacrifices? The poor. The poor. They, that's right, they're desperate. They have nothing, and they, oh, this guy's promising blessing and money and success. And I mean, he's got the break my debt anointing. He's going to break all my debt bondages. You know, when you hear this kind of stuff, you know you're in the wrong place. It's all about, it, when it's all about money, when it takes them 20 minutes to prime the pump before they take up the offering, you're in the wrong place. I believe in some cases, some of these ministries got bigger than God ever intended for them to be. And they did it by browbeating people and manipulating people. And now they have to keep doing that to keep the lights on. Or to continue their expansion projects. Anyway, that's my little introduction for tonight. And we'll pick up there next time. Like I said, next week our brother Rick is supposed to be here. And we'll continue after that. Let's pray. Father, my prayer tonight and always is that you would help us to be discerning. Lord, I know that there are many people who are caught up in these things who just don't know better. Some of them are just unaware, unlearned, and they're caught up in these prosperity schemes. Lord, I pray for our deliverance and theirs. I pray, Lord, that you would rip the mask off of these frauds and show them to be what they are. I pray, Lord, that you give your people a healthy dose of discernment. Help us to be wise, especially in these last days. And help us to remember, Lord, that we're responsible for the resources that you've entrusted to us. We're responsible for what we do with them. Help us to use our resources for your glory and for your ends, and not to line the pockets of the greedy. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.